Hi everyone, I'm Allie.
And I'm Andy.
And welcome back to another episode of Mary and Awanza, your favorite book club and media podcast.
Woo. You just got
Yes.
back from a trip.
I did. We went to New Orleans this past weekend for my friend Molly's bachelorette party. It was a lot of fun. We went to a burlesque show, which, side note, not a single one of them had seen the movie Burlesque. And I was like,
What?
I know that was my first reaction, and then my second reaction was like, why do you guys think I want to go to a burlesque show so much? Because of like this one movie that I saw.
Was it anything like the movie?
Yes and no. I mean, there was a live band who and a singer, and there were ladies walking around doing like strip teases, so yes and no. But like not no, it's not like a one big stage and a huge like room or anything like that.
Not
It
like
was just like a,
a big production like it is in the movie.
no, it was just in like a smaller venue. I think that they do have that. Trixie Minx is the name of the lady who's doing it in New Orleans. And yeah, she just like had this one ballroom that they go to. They have two shows every Friday night. So
Gotcha.
we did that, and we did a ghost tour, and we did a little swamp tour, and walked around and had beignets and like some good food. So we all had a really good time, I think.
I saw a picture of your bachelorette bingo card.
Yes, unfortunately, none of us really got bingo, which is deeply upsetting to me. But
Who made the cards?
my friend Ellen, so I'm the maid of honor, and Ellen is the matron of honor. And she put together a couple little games like that. So she had Bachelorette Bingo. We did a Mad Libs for Molly's vows, which was really funny. We drew her dress, which I already like. I went dress shopping with Molly, so I knew what it looked like. So I just drew a picture of Molly in a different dress. But I also put together like the newlywed game for her, which was a lot of fun too. Because I sent her fiance the questions, and then I had her answer them in front of us, and it was really nice. Yeah, a good time.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We got about 5 or 6 inches of snow since yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's
Yeah,
like,
my mom's been sending me pictures. It looks like so much.
yeah, I think it was a lot more than we originally anticipated. And so we took Rosie out in the snow. This is the first time that she's been old enough to remember it or realize what it is. We took her out when she was just a couple months old, but it didn't really snow last year. So she was not that big of a fan.
Aww.
she liked riding in the side by side when we rode up in the woods and down the road. But when she got out, I had tied Kroger bags around her boots so her feet wouldn't get wet.
Aww.
And she didn't want to walk. She just stood there and kept saying, "Hold me, hold me." And
Aww, poor Rosie.
then we went inside and had hot chocolate, and she loved that part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then, yeah. This will be a good memory then.
Yeah, she kept saying, "Hot chocolate, hot chocolate, hot chocolate."
That's funny.
So, yeah, I was supposed to be going to a big conference downtown this week, and yeah, I don't know that that's going to be happening at all. There's like no snow plows around. There's no, I don't know. I've been watching on off and on today. I've been watching a live stream video from the Lebanon Police Department. They have like just a camera mounted in a patrol car, and then somebody who's narrating like, "We're on this street, now we're on that street," and everything's horrible.
Just covered in snow. I mean,
Yeah.
look, you guys weren't really ready. I can't imagine you have a huge budget anymore for this kind of weather.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've been getting a lot of updates from work, but our conference is supposed to start tomorrow, and they still have a lot of people flying in. But they told everybody who's local to stay home, at least for tomorrow, because tomorrow we weren't actually doing much besides everybody registering when they get there. And then we had like a welcome reception dinner. So stuff wasn't really starting until dinner, anyways. So Wednesday, it's going to be, I don't know, a little more up in the air about whether I go in or not. It just depends on how much work gets done on the roads.
Yeah. Well,
So, yeah, we'll see.
stay safe, yeah.
So we read our last short story in the series that you picked from Helen Ellis.
Yes,
Thank
this one was called Halloween People. I enjoyed it. I guess I didn't write a little summary of this one, but it was just essentially, I think, Helen narrating her decision to try and find an outfit for fancy party that she was going to for her friend. And just sort of her talking about, like the type of people that exist, I guess, in the world.
Yeah, the stress that she feels to find a suitable, not even the perfect outfit, but just a suitable outfit for this black tie occasion that she has planned.
I guess not the perfect outfit, but like suitable and like like something she feels good in, which is what she's like stressing in this story, that she like hasn't dressed up since she was 4, I think is what she was saying, when she had her green jumpsuit, and she like was just trying to find a way to feel comfortable like that again.
Something that makes her feel confident.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I can understand.
Yeah. So the first part of the story starts out with Helen explaining that there are Halloween people and Christmas people. And so the main difference is that Halloween people dress themselves and Christmas people dress their houses.
Yes. And Halloween people like to go out and put on a show, and Christmas people like you to come in and look at what they've done.
Yeah. So which, are you a Halloween person or a Christmas person? And can you be both?
First of all, yes, why are you making me choose? I never choose in my life, and I'm not going to start now. I choose both. I understand the analogy that she's going for. Like, I get it, but I also think that you can be both. Like, I love Halloween, and I like you getting dressed up and going out, but I also really love Christmas and decorate my house and like to stay in and convince people to come look at my heirlooms that I have collected over the years.
So probably from like September through November 1st, you're a Halloween person and you want everybody to come see your Halloween witch and and dress up and stuff like that. But then from November 1st until what, like New Year's, you're a Christmas person?
Well, from the day after Thanksgiving to New Year's, yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's how Adam is too. He did not want any Christmas decorations up before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, me too. Well, what are you? Are you a Halloween person or a Christmas person?
I think I was a Halloween person when I was a kid, because we always, and I had to think about this, about which one I was. My parents just sent me a picture that somebody found of me. I was probably in seventh or eighth grade, dressed up for Halloween, because Sumner Academy used to always do a Halloween parade. And so I dressed up every year, and my mom always had us make our outfits. Like, we never bought a Halloween costume.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, all of our costumes were handmade, either by my mom or us when we got a little bit older. And the picture she sent me the other day, Davey was dressed as the Big Bad Wolf. He was probably in like third grade, maybe. Second grade. I don't know. Jamie was dressed as a purple crayon.
Mm-hmm.
I was a punk rocker.
Oh my god, send me that picture. Yeah, that's hilarious.
I showed it to Adam and he thought Jamie's costume was so ridiculous. He dressed up as a crayon.
Well, fair, but that was like a big costume. I have memories of people like buying that soft costume to dress up.
Yeah, I mean, hers was handmade, so it didn't look like the store-bought one, but that's what she's going for.
But still,
So when I was younger, I really liked that. I liked the thought you put into what am I going to make for my costume? What do I want to be? All that. Mm-hmm. But as I guess as I got a little bit older, like high school and older, I was more of like not as much into the dressing up for Halloween and like the Christmas stuff more. Now I'm definitely more of a Christmas person.
Yeah, so do you think then you agree with Helen? Like, she says that you age out of dressing up because she, I guess, in this situation, she's talking more about formal wear. But, like, in general, I get the thought that, she thinks that as you age, you're less interested in those types of things.
Yeah, I made a note of that, too, is losing the will to dress up an age thing. And I guess when she was mentioning it, she had given an analogy of like old people at a casino don't really care what they look like anymore. And so I wasn't thinking about it in terms of dressing up for Halloween when I was younger, but I was thinking to myself, this is 100% me. I do not care at all what I look like anymore. I am 100% a Christmas person. My entire wardrobe is leggings and t-shirts.
That's funny. I haven't aged out of it yet, I guess. I think that I have a good sense of style myself. But I also, yeah, like I recognize, I don't know, that not everyone's cup of tea. I'm just thinking about when in this story, when she's also mentioning being put together and dressing up are not the same thing.
Yeah. So she says, having good taste and being put together are not the same thing. You can be put together and not have good taste, but you can't have good taste and not be put together.
Yes. And so I think, yeah, I like to think I have good taste and look put together, and I haven't aged out of that yet. But I also, I do care a lot less. There was, I don't know if you were as aware of this as my college friends were, but I used to not want to leave the house unless I put on mascara and eyeliner once I started wearing it.
And lipstick?
Often lipstick, but I was like mostly just adamant about the eyeliner and mascara. And I think a lot of that I inherited from like my grandma and how she always thought that you should look your best when you're going out amongst people.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my college friends, like the first time I didn't wear eyeliner around them, it was like, I don't like one, like the day after I came back from Christmas or something. And they all commented on it. And I was like, oh, I didn't even notice. but now I definitely, yeah, I've like slowed down on that at least. I go out of the house now without makeup on, yeah, which is nice.
I would say that I do not have good taste. And I'm okay to admit it. I know what I need to look like to be put together. Like when I'm going into the office for work, I know mm-hmm. what an acceptable outfit is to wear to the office. But mm-hmm. at the same time, anytime I have to go shopping for like this conference that I was supposed to be going to this week, I went to the store and made sure that I had all my outfits picked out about what I was going to wear. And like, I know when I see something that looks good, I think, oh, that looks really nice. But I have a terrible time of knowing what looks good on me and how to pick it out of like off the rack. I can never tell what is going to look good on me. And then I must pick terrible things, because anytime I go in a dressing room, everything I try on looks horrible. So,
well, I mean,
I can recognize good taste on somebody else, but I do not know what looks good on me. So I'm going to say I do not have good taste.
All right, fair enough. But you just need,
yeah.
You just need a friend like Helen's friend to be what you say. I'm a good friend. I'll tell you if it looks bad.
Yeah.
You just need someone to do that, which I would do for you, but unfortunately I'm a little far away right now.
My first nightmare would be somebody nominating me to go on that show, What Not to Wear. Like, I know that they would give me good advice on what looks good on my body type, but I would be so embarrassed that somebody nominated me because I look bad. But anyway, yeah, I do not have good taste, but I think I know, I wouldn't say I'm put together very often, but when I need to be, I can be.
You can be, yeah.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
Yeah, I just think the stress of finding an outfit for an event, whatever the event is what makes me, like, not interested in that at all.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's exactly how Helen feels, right? She's like, anytime I have to buy something to, like, bare my shoulders or, like, a hat for a derby party, she's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Especially if it's something I know I'm only going to wear one time. I'm like, oh, man, do I really want to go to that party or that event knowing that I'm going to have to buy this and wear it one time and that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about doing like that, any of those clothing rentals?
Like Rent the Runway and stuff?
Like Rent the Runway. Yeah. There's a many other now. Like my friend Molly just did that for this weekend.
I've heard of them, but I've never really looked into it because again, I don't know how to tell somebody, like, I mean, I could tell them like, this is a formal event or a nice awards dinner, like we're supposed to have this week. I need mm-hmm. something that's nice for that. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to tell them, like, oh, I like this kind of style, or I like long sleeve versus short sleeve, or whatever, like this fabric versus that fabric. So I don't know how they would pick out something for me.
Fair enough.
Or if I would have to pick it myself, and then I'm doomed.
Yeah, you would. I mean, I think that they likely have some suggestions, but yeah.
Yeah.
So it goes.
So in the story, Helen's friend, I think her name was Karen, goes shopping with Helen to help her find this outfit for the black tie birthday party. And she tells her that her budget is $500 to $1,000. And when I heard that, I was like, are you insane, Helen? And the friend goes, I'm a good sales shopper.
Yeah, like we'll make that work. Yeah. I had the same thought, like, my God, that seems like a lot for a dress. But I'm also, like, I'm looking at bridesmaid dresses now, and those are like $100 or cheaper on some places. So, like, does it really need to be $1,000?
Yeah, but, like, I mean, when you're asked to be in a wedding, that's a little different because you have a more important role in the event. No. If you're just being invited to a birthday party that's black tie, there is no way I'm spending $500 to $1,000 on an outfit for that.
Yeah, that's just my point that, like, I feel like you could definitely get something a lot cheaper than.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I get these fancy dresses for these events for, like, no more than $200 easy. And
yeah. Yeah. But then again, this is New York City. So
that's true.
Everything's well, more she expensive there.
I mean, she doesn't have to shop in the Saks.
That's true.
She yeah. could shop somewhere else. Saks is super expensive, though.
Yeah.
I'd highly recommend against that. I mean, not we can have this billion-dollar company suing us now.
But you also got, she's got to keep up appearances to make everybody yeah. think that she's a Halloween person, because she doesn't want the embarrassment of not being a Halloween person.
Yeah, or making the same mistake she made a decade ago when she went to her fancy party and wore sunglasses as a mask.
Right. Yeah. Which, I mean, hey, that passes the test, but apparently other people at her party thought no.
I mean, it works, but it feels like it's not really in the spirit of the law, if you will, you know?
Yeah. So what did you think of Helen's husband not texting her back when she thought she found a nice, acceptable outfit to wear? And then later he's like, well, I couldn't really tell if it was the right one.
Yeah, well, he said something about, like, the camera making it look weird or yeah. not being able to tell. Which she knew was his code for that doesn't look good on you.
Yeah.
If she liked it and everybody else liked it, I guess I don't really understand why it mattered if her husband liked it that much for one night, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I understand that she probably thinks his opinion of how she looks is one of the more important opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would, if I was buying, especially if I was buying something that expensive, I would send a picture to Adam and be like, what do you think? Yes or no? Because he's going to be the one right next to me. We're probably going to take some nice pictures, all of that. And if he thinks mm-hmm. it doesn't look good, then I don't want to be seen in something that he doesn't like, too.
Hmm. I understand that, I guess. But to me, it sounded, I guess just to me, it sounded like she really, really liked it. Yeah. And yeah, like if it makes you that happy, then you might as well. Though I guess for $1,000, it's a hefty sum.
Yeah, she said, I'm a good sales shopper. And I was like, I'm glad that this is not the kind of party I'm being invited to.
Yeah.
So at one point, there was something that Helen said that reminded me of, have you ever heard of people having their skin or like complexion tested to see if they are a spring, summer, fall, or winter?
No.
I don't know exactly what goes into it, but there's some kind of evaluation that you can do, and professionals, I don't know who, will look at your hair color versus your complexion, and they will figure out what colors are most suitable for you based on your skin and your hair and all that. And so, like, they'll determine your color palette. So, like, yeah. You look good in lots of blues and grays and dark colors, you might be considered a winter. If you look mm-hmm. good in like pastels, then you might be a spring.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that kind of thing. And she mentioned something about it. I can't remember exactly what in the story, but I was wondering if you had ever done an evaluation like that or if you knew what your season is.
No, I don't really like certain colors on me. Like, I don't really like purple or orange or green on me all that much. And I like to wear a lot of blues. Like, every time I wear blue, it's like certain colors of blue, people will say, oh, your eyes, it really brings out your
yeah.
eyes.
Yeah.
But I guess I've never like subscribed, like put like a specific kind of color palette on it, because I do wear like brighter reds too that I feel like don't go with like the blues and blacks that I'm also always wearing.
Yeah. I think I'm the same way. I've never done like an actual evaluation before, but like mm-hmm. I think yellow does not look good on me. But also now that my hair is a lot darker, I think I could pull off a yellow because the contrast of when I had blonde hair against a yellow shirt or dress it wasn't very good. But now that my hair is darker, I think I could maybe make it work. But yeah, I also like dark green on me a lot. A lot of my professional clothes that I have that I wear to the office are dark green color.
Oh. Well, then you must be a, what, summer gale?
I don't know. I'm not sure what, I don't know if dark green would fall into the winter category or summer category, but it probably depends on what other shades and colors there are in those groups.
I've never done something like that. I'm just a firm believer that you should wear what you want to wear.
Yeah, that's true. But it would be nice for somebody who understands color theory and that kind of thing to say, like, these are the colors that accent, like you said, your eyes or your lips or your hair or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, just complement your overall look versus the colors that don't do as much for you. I'd be interested to see what that is for me. Oh.
Maybe we'll get that done one day for you.
We'll see. I've been seeing a lot of videos of people doing that on Instagram.
I've been seeing a lot of like color theory for foundation on Instagram. And I've been wondering a lot about that as well.
Yeah. I haven't seen as many of those. I think the ones that I've been seeing are like people that are doing hair. They'll put a cloth fabric in front of you that's like different colors. And then when they remove one onto the next color, you see if it really like brings out their facial features and stuff like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, that's about all I have for the notes on this one. Do you have anything else?
Yeah. I think I had a couple other things. I liked the line that she just drops in where she said something about her friend runs in her family like ghost sightings run in mine. And I was like, oh, what a fun little line to drop in there. And I was looking through the other stories and she does have like a ghost story that I haven't listened to yet. So I need to go back and listen to that.
Thought that too, and I thought she must have another story in this short story series that's about ghost seeing or ghost sightings.
Yeah, and she does, and I at least am gonna listen to it, so you should too. We can talk about it off the pod. Yeah, and I think the only other thing that I had was that I really liked the callback when she was said that they were like stepping into the new part, and she said she felt like her 4-year-old self again.
Yeah.
I liked that, like the way that it ended and paralleled the beginning of her story when she was talking about how she had been a Halloween person since she was 4.
Yeah, and it's also nice that she felt most confident and like her childhood self again in the $70 dress, and she didn't have to buy the $500 or whatever it was, $900 jacket to feel good about herself. So
yeah,
just goes to show you don't have to spend more to feel good.
I think that's about it. Should we rate it?
Yeah. What would our scale be for this one?
Out of 5 $1,000 dresses.
Okay.
How many do you give this?
So I pulled up our rating sheet for the last short story we did. Mm-hmm. And I think I liked the story of Serious Women more than I liked the story of Halloween People. But I related more to Halloween People just because, like I said, I don't have any fashion sense.
Yeah.
So I'm still going to rate Serious Women a little bit higher, and I gave that one a 4. So I'm going to give this one a 3.9.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I think I would give this like a 3.7 maybe. Mm-hmm. Just because, I mean, it's a good story, but it just didn't feel super compelling to me. I don't know.
Yeah. So now that we've actually read 4 by her now.
Yes.
Should we rank the ones that we've read by Helen Ellis?
Well, just do you have a favorite that stuck out?
Yeah, I think I like Serious Women the best.
Yeah, I think so too. I was thinking about that as well. Like, I liked the other ones. Like, I liked the thank you note one. When to write a thank you note, I think. But
and the best.
I think I like Serious Women the most as well.
Yeah, I did too. And it's funny because I feel like the Halloween People one was more similar to How to Be the Best Guest and How to Write a Thank You Note in terms of, like, it was almost like advice on how to navigate whatever situation you're in. But the Serious Women was more of a totally different story.
Well, yeah, that's the end of that series. And I believe you're up next to pick our next one.
Yeah. So I guess real quick, the book for the month is Ghosted by Rosie Walsh. Mm-hmm. And I will be reading a lot of that this week.
Okay.
And then for the next short story series, I guess I should have run this by you to make sure you haven't already read it. But the one that I picked is called Awayland by Ramona Ausubel.
Okay.
I'm going to probably not get that correct. A-U-S-U-B-E-L.
I think A-U-S-U-B-A-L?
B-E-L.
Ausubel? Yeah, that's how I'd say that. But I'm sure we'll find out later.
Yeah, so it's a series that came out in 2019, and there's 11 stories in the book.
Okay.
So just a really quick, I guess, overview of what the Awayland has. And I'm reading this off of the PenguinRandomHouse.com site. It says, crisscrossing the pages of Awayland are travelers and expats, shadows and ghosts. A girl watches as her homesick mother slowly dissolves into literal mist. The mayor of a small Midwestern town offers a strange prize for stranger reasons to the parents of any baby boy born on Lenin's birthday.
Okay.
A chef bound for Mars begins an even more treacherous journey much closer to home.
Okay.
And a lonely heart searches for online love. Never mind that he's a cyclops.
Oh, this sounds interesting.
Yeah, so that last one I think is going to be pretty funny. It's supposed to be the she is acclaimed for the grace, wit, and magic of her novels. And so it says Ramona Ausubel introduces us to a geography both fantastic and familiar in 11 new stories. These stories span the globe and beyond, from small town America and sunny Caribbean islands to the Arctic Ocean and the very gates of heaven itself. So yeah,
well, the
first story that I picked, the Cyclops one really had me intrigued. So I want to pick that first. And it's called You Can Find Love Now. And it's about a Cyclops on a dating site.
Well, I'm excited to get that and read it.
Yeah, I think that one will be good.
Yep. And like you said, the book is next week. So hopefully everybody else has already picked up their copy and is reading it.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marianne and Wanda. We would love to hear your feedback and if you have any books or topics for us to review.
You can reach us at Marianne and Wanda Podcast on Instagram or send us an email at Marianne and Wanda Podcast @gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.